Word Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Luke, and we're in chapter 17. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. What happens is we're scandalized sometimes. Unless we have a strong, abiding faith. Think, for instance, of David before his fall. Saul was chasing him all over the landscape, right? He was the leader. David loved Saul. He played music for Saul, and Saul gets a spear and tries to thrust him through with it. He could have gone dark. But he didn't, because he didn't look to Saul as his plumb line or as his anchor. He realized God anointed Saul, and he refused constantly to put his hand against Saul because he says, you know, God, if you want Saul taken out, you take him out. You've anointed me king, but hey, he's in the throne. I'm not going to usurp that position. I'm not going to bring disparagement upon that man's name because David had a good faith. Saul, on the other hand, he wasn't converted till he was older, and it was kind of bumpy from the time that he went out from the midst of Samuel's presence and he prophesied among the prophets. And everybody said, what? Saul's prophesying among the prophets? But he was. God gave him a new heart, it says. But he kept fumbling. My point is, the long narratives of the Old Testament give us light for the New Testament. And if you do not have a strong faith, you could become scandalized in so many little ways and you don't even know it. You're still muscling through and doing your duty, but you may not really have your heart engaged. You need to start every day with Jesus. That's what I'm saying. Because the radio is not going to do it for you. Sunday alone is not going to do it for you. There ought to be a hunger for God's Word. You know, we are a people who are supposed to take the scroll and eat it. It may be sweet in our tongues, but bitter in our bellies, but we're okay with that because God is letting us know what's true. And sometimes knowing what's true means I can make some adjustments, right? If I don't know what's true, can't make any adjustments. So he says these little ones, and he's referring primarily in this context to anybody who was in the midst of the sheep that the Pharisees were over. And they would have perhaps have believed in Jesus, but these guys were constantly trying to challenge him in their presence. And he says in verse 3, take heed to yourselves, if your brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. So there you go right there. If you were taking notes and trying to get a list of, well, he didn't repent, I need to ask you, did you rebuke him? Did you go talk to him privately so it wasn't an assault on his pride or your own, where you could work it out? Did you do that? If you didn't, you have no right to be saying, I need what I need. And it says in verse 3, he says, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. Why? Because Jesus says that to us. It's a godly thing to forgive. Why? Because as long as the body of Christ is intact, there's a safe haven for those who come into its midst on the Lord's day and in the community of day to day. You and I want to make sure that we preserve the integrity of the body of Christ. I had a preacher who said years ago, he says, I just ask you three things. Don't embarrass Jesus, don't embarrass the church, and don't embarrass me as your pastor by living in a way that would be contrary to that which would further the kingdom of God's prosperity. We need to bring people to Jesus. We don't have time to be shooting each other, right? So we don't want to be an offender to somebody else because he says after the offense, somebody's going to offend a little one. It could be me offending somebody because I don't forgive. Can I tell you a little story? Years ago, I was working with a group of guys in a new church. I was actually 29. We started a church in Pennsylvania. We had a handful of guys who were our officers in the church. We got together. We were trying to figure out a way to get land. In mind, we had a couple ideas, and we got together. We said, well, wait, maybe we could go and present this to our people. Now, we didn't have a big congregation. We were brand new. Only about 30 people would show up at any given meeting. So we decided we were going to go to the people with this idea. We had all decided. We'd all agreed. It was all talked about. And as soon as we got in there, one of the guys who was an officer personally challenged me. He was 5 or 6 years older than me. And at 29, you're kind of a little nervous about this whole leading thing. But, hey, you're fired up for Jesus. Let's do this. He took issue with the proposal and tried to make himself look big and me look small, and it was really embarrassing and humiliating. I just absorbed it. I didn't like it. I just said, oh, okay, and just tried to not misbehave in front of the people that were there. But after we left, I was so devastated. that it just literally took all the wind out of my sails. I had no lift. I had no song. And I just didn't know what to do. And I began to pray on it. And God just kept nudging me back to, you need to forgive him. I'm like, I don't want to forgive him. I'm mad, man. We need to do something to him. Can we take the air out of his tires? What can we do? And finally, I got to the place where I forgave them. And I just said, Lord, I forgive them. I absorbed the consequence. And, you know, we'll just go from here. And you're God, and I'm not. And I must have needed this. And I kid you not, with tears and with great sorrow and then with great freedom, I arose from that difficulty. And I had asked God to do something for weeks. It had been about 3 or 4 weeks this went on. And when it all came to pass, I actually found that when I had actually forgiven him, two things happened that day. The first thing that happened was the man called me and said, my wife and I are going to be moving down to Phillipsburg. And we just wanted you to know. And it had nothing to do with him feeling my hurt. It was just God was removing him. And the second thing that happened, on call waiting, I said, hang on a second. I hit the call waiting, and a lady called us, plan B. The lady called us with the land that we were going to build our building on. And I'm still on the phone with the other guy. She said, I just want you to know, I'm willing to give you that 6 acres of land for $35,000. And I'm like, God just blessed me by me letting it go. He gave me what I needed. Now, I could have become the offender of others by allowing my hurt to spill over on other people. But it's not about me. It was never about me. It was about him. And he says this. He says, you need to forgive them. And if they do repent and 7 times in a day, because you've rebuked them 7 times in a day, you need to forgive them. And what is the response of the disciples? In verse 5, it says, the apostles said, Lord, increase our faith. You know, it takes a lot of faith to let go of an offense. You have to be seeing things from heavenly perspective to do that, because it's our natural propensity, especially as men, to go nose to nose and become a little bit more personally engaged in the situation, trying to force it to be fixed, but we can't. In verse 6, he says, and the Lord said, if you had faith as the grain of a mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Now, is that hyperbole? Is this even possible? I mean, what in the world? Has anybody ever been known to do anything like this? You remember, oh, there are other places, if you had grains, you know, faith is a grain. You can say this mountain be plucked up and planted in the sea and it would. Do you know, we can look at that in shadowy ways where people have relieved God for land and maybe a mountain was removed so they could go in, and that's all fine and good. But that's not what he said. He talked about plucked up by the root. Now, I want you to know something. We know somebody who could do this firsthand, right? Jesus. What is harder to do? Pluck up a tree by its root and cast it away into the sea? Or is it easier to take a man's lame hand and make it grow fingers? Is it easier to take a widow from Nain whose son had died and touch the coffin and raise him from the dead? Why could he do that? Because he knew what was really going on. Okay? Now stay with me here. I'm trying to show us what faith looks like, because faith is not about plucking up mountains or plucking up trees. But he said, if you had faith, you could do that. And I want to suggest to you that there will be a day when you'll be able to do that. Okay, it's just later. And he's telling us, in one sense, that when we get home, you get a little glimpse, there's coming a day. Remember, he went through the door without ever opening it. Jesus is awesome. And he's going to show himself awesome. But right now, he's living a very humble life. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I am meek and lowly, and my burden is easy. And my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Right? And so right now, he's meek and lowly Jesus. But one day, he will have traded in his crown of thorns for a crown and a throne in heaven and on earth. Now, look what he says. They said, increase our faith. And he says, I'm telling you, if you had faith. What is faith? Well, faith is knowing something is to be depended on. May I illustrate it very simply for you? You sat down in a chair today and didn't think twice about it because you had faith that the chair would hold you up. You will leave this place in a little while, and some of you will go to restaurants, and you will trust somebody by faith to feed you food that has not been dropped on the floor, rubbed around on the tile, picked up, spit on, walked off, and thrown back on your plate. Now, are you worried yet? But you're going to worry, see? Every now and then you get a bad meal and you know something went sideways in that kitchen. And I want to suggest to you, you go through a green light by faith, good, founded faith, that guy coming with the red light's going to stop. But sometimes they don't. But you know what? God never deviates from His plan. He never deviates from His will. And so when these guys ask Him, increase our faith, He says, look, Longview, you'll be able to pluck up mountains. Remember when they came down from the mountain after they'd seen Him transfigured? And the disciples in the valley could not cast out a devil? He says, oh, you of little faith. They say, what can we do? He says, because this comes not forth except by prayer and fasting and the clarity that that brings. But He's telling them, you have little faith. Now, you and I try to live in both worlds, mammon and God. And it's really hard for us. It really is. You know, we can't fault ourselves, and Jesus didn't either, but He brought them along. He says, if you have faith, verse 6, as a grain of a mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, be planted in the sea, and it should obey you, because it will one day be able to be done by us. If that's needful, we will have the ability. Why? Because this world is going to be under our dominion once again. In the new heaven and the new earth, certainly. And even in the millennial kingdom, I believe we're going to have some abilities that are going to be uninhibited or unadulterated by any sin nature. So we're going to be able to rule and reign with Him. Verse 7 says, but which of you having a servant? Now, you might circle the word servant, because what I said at the outset is if we're going to increase our faith, one of the things that we're going to have is we're going to have a submissiveness about us. Remember when Jesus said, except you come as a little child, you can't enter? Nothing more submissive than a child. Now, I got it. Little two-year-old, you say, come here, they bolt the other way. I mean, that's the sin nature. But children that are in their 7- and 8-year-old stages, I mean, if you say, come here, son, they're going to. This is why we are scared for our kids, you know, in the park, right? An adult says something, they typically have gotten to the place, perhaps, where they will come. And that can be scary. But for God, He wants us all to be submissive. And that's why He brings forth this aspect of increase our faith. He says, you have a servant, and you tell him to go work in the field, and then he comes in, and which one of you would say unto him, go sit down to meat, go eat? But rather, you would say, cook my meal, fix me something. I know you've been working, but that's not the issue. You work for me. Well, I don't want to work for you. Well, find another place. Okay, no, I'm God. You want to work for God, right? You need to be submissive. And He's giving the illustration that if you have a master and a servant relationship, He says, you need to make ready for me that I may sup and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten. Now, principle of the kingdom, you know what God's doing? He's building a household right now. He's got an agenda. There's a field to labor in. There's work to be done. And Jesus would have us be about His work, not our own, not championing our own things, but championing His things. And if I'm championing His things, I can fall back into chapter 16, or I can fall back into earlier in chapter 17. I don't want to be offensive. I want to be forgiving. I want to be a person who doesn't seek my own things, because that's not going to help me with my master. I want to make friends of the mammon of unrighteousness down here, but I also certainly want to make friends with God. And I'm not going to say, God, I demand that you heal me. I'm not going to say, God, I demand that you give me a new job. I'm not going to say, God, I demand you give me a new car, which there's those name it, claim it kind of things. But sometimes we flirt with it. God, I did stuff for you, and maybe you can do stuff for me. No. We're going to work in the field. We're going to come in, and we're going to serve Him even more. Okay? We need to do all that we can to be submissive to Him. This will, in large measure, increase our faith. Because, you know, when you give to God in the right way, He will bless you. He will sustain you. He will give you the confirmations day to day that He's got your back. He loves you. He is joying and beholding the good manner of your faith. He knows.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.